All right, 6 o'clock. Here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio in Paradise, California. I welcome all those who are here with us tonight online. We do this as a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people here on the line already, and the mics are still open. And if people have joined here in the last minute, I welcome you. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Open mic.
Open mic. The mic is still open. All right, like we have about...
Can I run and get my tap shoes?
We have about 30 people here on the phone line, and we are still waiting for the man of the hour, which is Ms. Reed. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Kent where?
Kent, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Is that in Kentucky? All right.
Didn't know there was one there.
Good evening. Welcome to the name and location.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey, Roger.
To Memphis.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Another day, man.
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. Good to be on.
I've been worried about you.
Yeah, well.
I'll send you an
email.
Hey,
Rosalie from Huntsville.
Hey, Rosalie.
Hey, Rosalie. Hey, guys, am I a moderator?
Negative. no, you're not.
I'll call right back, okay?
All right. All right. Hi, Rosalie. Welcome to the call. More people join in if you have a chance and you want to. Please say your name and location. Going once.
Hi.
Hello, Terry Brown. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
And let me tell you,
Terry.
Terry on the line tonight.
We have Terry, Uncle Terry?
Yep.
All right, hi.
Hello. Hello, Terry.
Good to hear you.
Hello,
Terry. Terry Brown. Terry, Uncle Terry is getting more emails than we are now before these shows.
Well,
I'm going to be able to... I'm going to be
very true.
I'm going to be able to retire.
We just got another order for your book, Terry, and also I was just transcribing the November 17th transcription in which... When read from your book and you spoke a little bit, and so that'll be going out to the mailing list.
All right, I'm going to mute the lines. We have some background noise.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
6:04 Wednesday, and we are live on BBS Radio. Welcome all those on BBS. Wynn, you're
yes.
Here. Mr. Winfrey with Terry Brown and also Uncle Terry is here, so it is a wonderful to be part of this.
You know, it is pretty interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Hang on a second. I'm just going to the thing here. Okay, and hang on. Hang on.
All right.
Hang on.
You want me to start the recording?
No, not quite yet. Just almost. I'm just logging into the... You know, sometimes people wonder, how did I ever get Hives to be such a sucker? Come on these calls 3 days a week and say hello to everybody. And and he does it. And he is so wonderful at the way he cheers everybody up. So, and now we have Terry Friedman coming into the calls. And it's so exciting because I'm just showing up. We're all just showing up. And we have this experience that keeps occurring. And I think it's so amazing that we can create this kind of intimacy. And it is intimate, you know? We get to know each other. In some ways, you know, some of the people that come in on early on the calls, and if you haven't come in early, you should. Not that you should, but it's good because people talk to each other. You know, the earlier you come on, especially if you're one of those people that's listening and feeling alienated and isolated, it may not be good as coming into your living room with a bunch of disciples. But it's certainly the good thing about it is we can be there three times a week, and we don't leave. And in fact, the Elohim says, we leave, but we do not leave. So it's kind of like building a little support energy system, and some of you are doing that. Many of you are doing that. And we have, there's people, all the time we get emails from people that are listening on the internet that some of them I've never heard from before. And they're feeling just as connected as the people that are listening. And that's kind of a miracle to me, to be able to do that. And you know, the good news is it's a miracle, and the bad news is I have to be responsible.
That's got the recorder going.
You got the recorder going?
Yeah, I wanted to get it going before you get too deep into it.
Well,
are you ready?
I always say, go ahead, say it. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 4th, 2014, and I always say that I'm always saying the best stuff before the recording starts. I like talking before the recording starts because then I can risk more screw-ups because there's no record of it. And once it starts to be recording, if I screw up, then everybody knows it's posted, it's in the archives, and it's there forever. So, in any case, now the recording's going, and I was just
I'm glad I'm not doing it. I'm glad it's the Elohim because I would be nervous if it was me.
You would be nervous?
Yeah.
What's my excuse?
I don't know.
My excuse is that we've done this enough that I've gotten to the idea that it's not what I say, it's how I say it. And it's my level of detachment that lets me flow through a call. So because if I get self-conscious, which I guess I could a little bit sometimes, but if I get self-conscious, then I'll start to censor myself. And if I start to censor myself, I lose the flow. And I'm sure it's the same thing when you're channeling, right? I mean, Terry used to censor herself. She used to say, do I trust what they say? And could you say that again? I want to make sure I didn't get it wrong.
I used to have long pauses.
And in the meantime, if you ever listen to some of the really early channelings, while she's having this dialogue inside her head with them, she's telling us stuff like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And, you know, there were people that were discovering us for the first time that heard her do this wait a minute routine. And they all thought she was trying to think of what to say next. They said she was making it up. But there is no way she could make this stuff up. I mean, it's just too smart. It's too smart for me. It's like she could never come up with it. So then you have to say, where is it coming from? And the only it's pretty unusual to be doing a call like this publicly. I mean, I don't know if anyone else does it with a group soul matrix, okay? And that's a group soul matrix. Some of you know, understand this, is different than channeling a lower individual entity, because we are actually in the space of the greater universe. Many of us, our energy fields are expanding into that space, and we can feel something. And, you know, if I didn't really say it, you wouldn't understand what it was. I wouldn't. I mean, it took me a while to believe it, to believe that my space could get that big. Because, you know, if you think about being somewhere else, you think, well, what does it look like there? I must be able to see something. But you can't. You can't see it. You feel this expansion. And that just from doing this over and over again and getting comfortable with that expanded feeling and then trying to figure out, could it be this? What is that expanded feeling? And the only answer I could come up with is that we're actually expanding into the greater universe and into other dimensions. But it's amorphous. This is why it's tricky. It's amorphous because it's not like you're driving a car and you can steer it and turn right and turn left and whatever. You're in space of a matrix, and that in that space is both the positive and the negative. And that's why it's so important to have this concept of being outside of duality and the reality of it, because then you're above the positive and the negative, both. And you can kind of look down on it or feel down on it. And then you get to learn that experience, and you can start to integrate that into your life where, you know, everything in the world is just part of that duality, and you're just in the flow, and you don't have to get pulled into it. And sometimes when you first get exposed to something like this, sometimes it surfaces negativity in you. And oftentimes it'll do that. It's like the negative doesn't bounce off of anything here. This is what I think. It doesn't bounce off. It's not reflected. We're not sitting here, you know. Well, I should say, when I say it doesn't bounce off, I really mean to say it does bounce off. It has a hard time grabbing anything, which is what negative normally likes to do. It likes to grab something and commiserate with it and make a little group energetic relationship with it, and then it feels somewhat fulfilled for a few minutes or a few hours, but then it comes back again. But in this case, when you first start paying attention, the negative bounces back towards you, and then sometimes that makes things worse before it gets better. But at least that's my take on it, and everyone has their own experience, And what's so cool about this is that you can have your own experience, and someone else can have their experience, and we have a lot of good questions tonight. So let's just get, let me just get started on the questions. And of course, Terry isn't ready, and I'm not ready, and you guys aren't ready. Terry Friedman, are you ready? Oh, I think
He might be muted.
Hang on, let's see if we can unmute you, Terry. Did you unmute him, Tyus?
It was Cindy who called him in, I think.
Well, so we have to unmute Cindy, right? Yeah.
I'm looking over the note. I can't find it.
Cindy, you can do *6 if you're listening, okay? Hello, Cindy.
Hello. Can you hear me now? Yeah.
We hear you.
Oh, good.
Now, what did I ask you before I forgot and tried to unmute you?
What did you ask me?
If you're ready.
Ask me if I'm ready.
Or if you're ready. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. You're not ready, are you?
Yeah.
You are?
For what?
Well, that's the right answer. Never mind.
Dr. Friedman is always ready.
All right, don't answer for someone else.
Okay?
I see Marilyn K is on the line, and Michael S is on the line, and Cleo B is on the line. And if I'm not saying you're on the line, it's because you have an unidentified phone. I see David F. is on the line. David F. in Atlantic City. Terry, you want to hear a good story? Terry Friedman, you want to hear a good story? David.
Pardon me?
David, I was going to tell you a good story.
Yeah, tell me a good story.
David, I won't say his last name, David F., we'll call him, lives in Atlantic City. And we were going through really hard times a couple of years ago. And he went into a casino and he said, if I win something, I'm going to send something to Terry and Wynn, okay? And I think he did this on a slot machine. He pulled the lever down and he won $10,000.
Wow.
And he ended up sending us $3,000 and had a good time on the $7,000. Okay? And wow. He did it. He can't do this on demand. Okay? I mean, I'm sure he's tried, but he did do it one other time. And he ended up getting $3,000. Okay? So, I'm telling you guys, if any of you are in gambling cities, try it out and see how it works, and send us money, okay? All right. In any case, let's see here, 6:20. I'm talking too long. Let's start with our invocation. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us on this line, all of us on the internet, all of us listening to the replays that would like to be part of that connection. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we'll have our sources give a greeting here to the group. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to see each and every one of you on the line. And welcome Uncle Terry. And welcome the knowledge that he brings and the love that he brings to the call. And each and every one of you who are participating or will read the transcript later or listen to the call later, we welcome you, and you are a treasured participant. And we are there for those that wish to be connected with. Do you have questions?
Yes. First question is from Dave in Grove City. And his question is, I think I'm going to make a stab at answering it, and then I'll turn it over to you. If we are all one, does that also mean we are all equals, no matter how high our vibration is or what density we are in? And my answer to that would be that if your body is made up of all these parts, they're all needed to make your body function. Everything from your big toe to the cells to your ears to your brain. And so it's all one body, but they're not all equal because they have different functions. We all have equal potential. We are all going back to greater awareness. Some of us have smaller and more contracted awarenesses. And others of us have really big expansions. And ultimately, we're all going to be expanding. But whether that is in the next hour, the next year, or the next million years, is where the game of the universe works. Because to expand, somebody, I think, has to recognize the game of life, and they have to detach themselves a little bit from where they're at so they can do the right things that cause them to expand. And most people, or let me say many people, don't do that in their life. They're just trying to live their life, trying to be happy, doing all the human things, and they don't consider expanding. And so they can go for many lifetimes on a parallel track doing the same thing in different bodies, in different ways, from different angles. I mean, it's like one lifetime they may be a jeweler, and the next time they may be a garbage man, and next one time they might be the elite. Next time they may be, you know, the opposite of that. But they're not conscious until something strikes a person where they start becoming a seeker and looking for answers, then they stay in a particular contracted zone. In any case, let me turn it over to our sources and let them answer.
Thank you. When you look at the woven warp of everything on which all is written, everyone is equal. When you begin to put together the parts, some of the people have put together more parts than others. Some have a greater education than others. Some have a body that is totally working. Some have a body that has some deficiencies. And so when you get into the third density, you begin to get some discrepancies in how equal you might consider a person is. However, at the bottom, in the basis of everything, everyone is equal, and everyone is a part of God, a spark of God in his love.
Thank you. Was that the end?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Just making sure. Okay, we have, it's interesting, we have a flurry of somewhat similar questions tonight in a particular area. And so I'm going to ask this question, and then I'm going to ask some questions to expand of thought. And the general question is, this is my words now, people talk about things like pre-birth agreements, pre-birth contracts, lessons that you're supposed to learn, and then when did you finish learning your lesson? Are you done? And is it time to leave? And I'll ask more questions on that. But Edna asks, I would like to ask if a person has control of how long he or she wants to stay in this dimension. If a person decides that he has done enough and has accomplished what's needed, could that person just pass to the other side? I guess she means choose to pass to the other side. And how does that work? And also, I'd like to send love and thank you to our sources for all the support I receive.
Thank you. When an individual has a goal that they wish to complete or to be fulfilled in the third density, they may make a contract when they come in to fulfill that goal. Now, fulfilling of the goal may include a feeling, a sense of fulfillment. If someone truly fulfills that goal, then they will feel fulfilled in it. They may lose interest in pursuing it further because they have indeed fulfilled what they had set out to do. There may be other things that they wish to fulfill also. So it depends upon the individual. Do they have a feeling that all aspects of what they set out to do have been achieved? And in the achievement, that they are satisfied and they feel within themselves fulfilled in that aspect of their endeavors. At that point, they may decide to leave and go back to the higher realms, or they may decide to take on another achievement. Or they may decide that there is more to the fulfillment, to the goal, to the achievement that they have sought to put into play, and then work farther on that. When somebody makes a contract, when they come in, they can stay with the contract, but they have free will, and they can change the contract if they wish. It is their contract. It is not something that is other directed to them, although they may have worked with another angel or another source in the identifying of the contract. When they come in, they may change the contract. For instance, one gentleman came into the third density, and it was his contract to meet with another party, a woman, and to have a very good relationship with her. And then after a certain number of years, to leave this realm. He met the lady, he had a very good relationship with her, and they were together a period of years. And then he became ill as he got near the end of his contract. But he decided that he didn't want to leave at that point because he really had a good relationship with the person and he wanted to stay and continue it. So he did continue his contract and stayed for longer. Thank you.
When an individual finds a group like ours and they get exposed to the frequencies of higher dimensions, is that something that can change somebody's contract?
It could change someone's contract. It's depending upon the specifics involved. It could change it, or it might not. There can be areas where, as a person progresses in their life, they see reasons to change their contract. Contact with the higher realms could bring an expanded view of their contract and their goals and may change it to some degree here and there or totally, yes. That's the answer. Are you there?
Yeah. How about if a person has made oaths to something negative, to a negative group, a dark group, or they don't even know it's dark, but they make oaths. Do those carry over from one life to the next, and can they be broken?
Yes, they do carry over, and that is a very good point. When one has made a commitment, which is an oath and a commitment to something, and that commitment is no longer active, it is no longer desired, it is no longer useful in the person's life, then the changing, the breaking of that commitment, of that oath that is no longer valid to that person, may bring in renewed life, renewed experiences, more growth, and can bring the breath of life, of a new life, to that individual.
Thank you. Don Herman has a question, and Uncle Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you want, I'll ask this question, and then I'll turn it over to our sources and let them answer. But it has to do with a quote from Matthew 11:22, and he says, "Can you comment on the enigmatic biblical quote, if thine eye be single, thy whole body will be filled with light?"
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
If thine eye be single, you could pass on this. If you don't get an answer right away, you can just say pass. If thine eye be single, thy whole body will be filled with light.
Well, that means simply that he says, I am the single goal, which would be one with God. As long as he's a constant goal to have be one with God, then he will be filled with light and do God's will. That's very important. So that's what mm-hmm. that means.
Okay. And let me turn it over to our sources and let them address that. Thank you. Thanks, Terry, for answering.
Thank you, Terry. And we don't have any further comments.
You don't? Okay.
No, it is very clear.
I mean, if I was going to answer that, and this is not different from what Terry said, just a different way of saying it, is that you have to empty yourself. You have to go into a state of neutrality for spirit to have a place to flow into you. And oftentimes, we are afraid to empty ourselves, to let ourselves, by empty, you know, empty can look like void, but the other side of empty, in duality, is being full. Empty and full are just opposite sides of the same thing. And if we want to open to the love of the higher dimensions, we have to quiet ourselves in meditation. We have to get neutral, and we have to say, I'm ready to receive, or I'm ready to expand. And then this energy flows in, and that could be the meaning of thy whole body be filled with light. Okay?
Okay.
Not
you
different from what
you're saying. When you don't have
yes.
to do anything. Just be yourself. Be
right,
one with God.
Right.
You don't have to do anything.
Okay. Well, sometimes you have to do things. Some people have to do things to get to this place where they can be. Okay? In other words, they have all these thoughts. They have anxieties. They have pressures. They're worried. They've got the rent. They got their girlfriend is leaving them. And so somehow they have to let go of all of that to get into a state of being. And maybe it's on one hand simple for some people, but for other people, it's not so simple. So just covering everybody. Okay, next question here. This is from Dave S. Dave is the guy I was telling you about in Atlantic City. And as the preface to this question, I would say there are many times when psychology and comes up with terms and we kind of buy into them, like a midlife crisis or bipolar. And usually there is a higher understanding of all those things than just a psychological understanding. So Dave is asking the question, O over the years, there has been discussion on finding one's inner child. Is making the first, I'm going to insert a question here. From our sources' point of view, what is an inner child? I would say it's the part of you that is concerned with survival, the happiness, a lower part of one's nature, but it's real nonetheless. And my sub-question is, how does that idea connect with higher spiritual expansion? And then the rest of Dave's question is, making a connection with your inner child important in your spiritual studies, or is it another way for someone to get rich quick? Thank you.
Thank you. If someone, when they were a child, they were denied, or they were mistreated, or there was something that they couldn't communicate or get across, then connecting with that little child, that pure spirit that they were when they were young, and letting them then express that to get across what it is that they wanted to experience and were denied, and to allow that inner child to experience the love that it didn't experience when it was very small, then this can help release some of the pent-up stresses and anxieties that a person may feel when they are grown up. We look at it in that order. Does that clarify?
Yes, yes. Next question, who is this from here? Because I didn't do a good job of writing people's names down. But this is more of a philosophical question, okay? And I will ask this to the Elohim, but it was about Jesus. And in our book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, there was a quote that said, "It is irksome to be worshipped because worship creates a division. I'm better. You're the one who's not as good. It creates a falsehood, a fallacy, and it creates a break in the communication between the two. There's a father and a son, and neither is better than the other. One is wiser. One knows more." And the question is, did Jesus also feel that it was irksome to be worshipped? Let me ask Terry that, Terry Brown, our sources.
We would ask if Terry Freeman would like to answer that.
Okay. Yes, so Jesus didn't want to be worshipped. He wanted to be listened to. He wanted to give some people the answer to the question so they could have their own community with God. So he did not want to. In fact, one time he even didn't want to be told who he was, the Messiah. He wanted to keep that quiet. So he did not want to be worshipped, absolutely not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And let me see here. next question here is from, just a moment, Margaret in New Zealand had asked a general question last week, and I didn't ask it, about has she finished what her vision was in this realm, or does she still have things to do?
Thank you. We would ask that question of you, and when you consider the answer, consider your connections. Consider the people that you care for. Have you taken time to communicate to them, to be with them? Have you taken time for your own self to take a moment to love yourself? Have you made the connections that you wish to make with the quality of connection that you wish to experience? Are there some gaps here where you had wished something to continue, like a source that was talking to you and perhaps stopped? Are you still searching for an answer to what happened there? These things that may have seemed unimportant, some of those things may have seemed unimportant, but maybe now becoming more important. We take a look and we see that the reliance upon a voice coming to you needs to revert to your self-determinism, your own self-centering of your own being, so that the reliance shifts from that voice to your own self. And this will help you in your future, whatever you choose. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to make a comment here that Margaret, in her question, had said that she had been getting this guidance for 13 years, and it suddenly stopped. She heard a voice inside of her head, and I didn't ask that. And I didn't mention that. And they addressed it. So thank you. This is from Julie Ryle Dutch. And Julie asked that tough question last week kind of tempting our sources to take sides in helping this planet, and why do they allow certain things to happen, and why don't they stop them? And they gave a brilliant answer last week on that. And so she had the comment, even though I did not get the answer I wanted or wished for, I do better understand the issue from the higher source perspective. What side would they take when many humans have a part to play in the pain and suffering of the world, whether it be by killing or harming one another, Mother Earth or the animals of the Earth? Our job on Earth is to learn and grow from our experiences and make this earthly existence a better place for the brief time we are here. And it's our choices that determine our fate. I was strangely consoled after their explanation. It was really weird because normally I would keep fighting the point, but I reconciled with it instead. Thank you and Terry for your hard work. And now my question this week. I have heard in interviews and videos that back in the times after Jesus walked the earth, the elite theologians and men of power in charge picked the life of Jesus to be the focus of the Christian Bible. That Christianity, the Bible, and other various religions of the world were a means to control the masses of the population through doctrines of obedience. They also state that Jesus was a prophet, but he never performed miracles or died on the cross. And this was all embellished in order to make people believe and follow the doctrines. Could you comment on this and the life of Jesus and his death? Well, obviously, we have like 2 minutes, and that's probably a pretty long answer. You know, my quick dot-dot thing is that
when we talked about... go over because there's no show after us.
There's no show after us? Okay.
Right.
All right. My experience, you know, we've gone through something here in previous calls where I drew the conclusion that there were, that humans were a product of being ET hybrids, and that the ETs, who were sometimes called the Anunnaki, were trying to control all these humans who they wanted as their slaves. I'm simplifying this. It's more complex than this. But nonetheless, they took the role of acting as God for the humans. They were the gods, and they had powers. And that my contention was that a good part of the Old Testament had to do with these ET gods, and many of the gods referred to in the Old Testament were actually these guys, and that humans were under a fairly strong negative control pattern. Because if you don't do this, you're going to be punished. You got to fear God and all those kinds of things. And then there was the Ra group. This is my speculation of this, who was this group soul made up of graduates that was attempting to make a contribution to this realm. And that in the Old Testament, there were many prophecies made about the coming of a super god or a messiah. And now, this is my speculation. I don't even think our sources will confirm it, even if it's true. But that the Ra group was working on the other side and on this side to create circumstances for Jesus to be that Messiah and to fulfill the prophecies, just as they did with David Wilcock Edgar Cayce when they said Edgar Cayce would return in 1998 and maybe live in Virginia Beach and maybe a liberator of the world. I mean, they did that through Edgar Cayce, and then they arranged for David Wilcock to go to Virginia Beach in November of 1997. So there's like an MO of action where there's prophecies and then they're fulfilling the prophecy. And in that way, they get people's attention. They get people to pay attention because it's very hard to get attention in this realm. And so they had been working for at least 1,000 years, and it started out with Akhenaten and ended up with these scenes that were created by Akhenaten, and that Jesus coming in and being around the Essenes, and they were his support group. And my take is that the Essenes were actually they were channeling, and that when Jesus was growing up, they were able to impart to Jesus this message, and that they were going to use Jesus in a very selfless way to bring love to the planet and to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah so he would be recognized and so he could do a work that would be more popular amongst people. And then he got so popular that the very same government, that the Roman government that was against him, said, we want to use this to get back into controlling people. And so the churches turned Jesus from a loving presence that could help people love themselves and know the higher realms of spirit into somebody to believe in and to follow and to worship. And that's my take on it. And of course, I'm going to turn it over to Terry Friedman and get his take and see if our sources want to comment or not. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, you're very accurate. You're very accurate. The scenes were a big factor in the life of Jesus. They predicted way before he was born that the teacher of righteousness is coming to earth. Listen to the teacher of righteousness. However, after he was crucified, the Essenes had to go pretty much
underground.
Into a home, private home. So a lot of the development of religion came with a very downplayed consciousness from the Essenes. They had to go underground, so to speak, and the teachings were taught from a local level in the person's home, where they had meetings periodically. That's because not only were they dealing with the Romans and their influence, but also with Caiaphas, the head of the Jewish Church. So a lot of things changed after his death. That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, just to add another thing is, Terry has not really been exposed to the Ra group this lifetime, I don't believe. But historically, Akhenaten was known to have been the guy who started the Essenes. And what he was doing was taking enlightened people that had a Christed energy, and sending them to the caves outside of the city to start a community. This was like 1,200 years before Jesus. And in Carla Ruckert's Ra material, they were asked, Ra was asked, who they spoke to throughout history, and there were just a handful of people. Most of them weren't famous, but one of the people they mentioned was Akhenaten. And so it starts, you know, I was studying this, trying to put the pieces together, and that was one of the pieces that I put together, because if the Ra group was talking to Akhenaten, and Akhenaten created the Essenes, then I was drawing the conclusion that the Ra group was already planning the emergence of Jesus to come in, and the Essenes to be his support group, so to speak. So on that note, let me turn it over to our sources and see if they would like to add anything to what we said or have anything from a different angle.
Thank you. We also see that the church, the official church that followed, did take out certain books at the council that they had about 300 years after Jesus, and they took out certain books. They took out much information about reincarnation. So there were changes that they felt that if they put them into play, people would be more under control. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the Council of Nicaea, 300 years, that edited the Bible. And my take is one of the reasons they took out the idea of reincarnation is because if you have one life to make it or break it, and then you're going to be damned to hell or heaven eternally, and the church was the connection to keep you from being damned to hell, then that is a big control pattern that a church can have over an individual. And with reincarnation, people could have the idea, well, if I don't make it this life, I'll make it the next life, and there's less urgency to it all. So on that note, we're going to bring this session to an end, and I thank all of you who submitted questions, and I thank Terry Friedman very much for joining us today.
It's wonderful to have you here, Terry Friedman. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
And it's really an honor to have someone that has memories of Jesus that so correspond in so many ways to the ideas that we're bringing forth on these calls. And let's just keep Terry in the light for healing and love and staying in this realm a while longer and helping in this new mission. And thanking everyone who's volunteering. You know, I thank Cindy, who's in our group, has met Terry and has been helping him, going over his house, and I think she's there right now. Hi, Cindy. Thanks, Cindy.
Hi,
You're welcome.
Cindy. My pleasure.
Pardon me?
It's my pleasure spending time with Dr. Friedman.
You're not calling him Uncle Terry yet, are you?
Oh, Uncle Terry. Got to work on that one still.
Well, we'll vary. Moving from his sophisticated side to his genial uncle side, okay? And on that note, let me see here. We'll unmute everybody. And
will see you all soon. Let me see. How do I unmute people? I am so spaced out.
All callers are unmuted.